Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and we want to welcome you to another edition of Islam-based conversations. We're blessed to be able to be here and alive and well, and some are started the fasting in Ramadan and some are waiting for tomorrow. We'll have a little bit of conversation about that, and then we want to go back and revisit what we've been talking about. But let us declare our promise, which is we will not waste your time or insult your intelligence. You know, the more I say that, the more I get perspective on that. We won't go into that tonight, but I mean, it really, you have to have something. No, let me say it different, a little differently. You know, have to have, but it's a good idea to have something that is bigger than you to inspire you to do things that are on that level, and you giving yourself permission to say and do certain things and take on the responsibility of a podcast, and hopefully one day to take some of this material and put it in a book, you know. But you start somewhere, and the more you go forward with whatever you're doing, the more you see there is to do. It's just the way it is. And if that doesn't happen, then it wasn't intended for you. But if it starts to happen and you start feeling that, and you start feeling like you want to do more, and you want to do more, and you get a team of people, and you get the resources, and you get everything in place, and you do some of those things. But after you do some, you realize unfinished business. It just is going to be that way anyway. But the more you do and the more you look and discover your purpose or discover our purpose, the more you realize that it's time to pay attention a little bit closer. Give yourself permission to do a little bit more. Even though we're doing something right now, do a little bit more and see what kind of help you get to pursue that and make it a reality that's not just for a certain locale or a certain graphic or a certain demographic. You establish yourself. Your message has the criterion to be a universal concept. It can be universally applied. That means it could go into another language if it's necessary, and they can take their language and explain what you're saying in your language, not doing it necessarily better, but doing it so that it reaches audience that you're trying to reach. That's very important that you look at that, because if you don't look at it, someone might see what you were doing, take your stuff, and apply it to their cause. And next thing you know, it's free to not declare plagiarism because you never moved on it. We never moved on it. So just a thought as we get started here, because I think we need to embrace the bigness that's there. This is no small job. That's the first part of it. But it's also not too big, because if you look back how we received it, it kept being one and then another one and then another one, you see? It was always one leader out there in front of us, leading us to where we felt we wanted to go, leading us away from the dissatisfaction that we were feeling, leading us into accept higher heights and more responsibility. You see? So, but when does it stop? When does it end? You know, it doesn't end with the one person not being with us. It's just the beginning, because the one person that was there that gave their all, but they didn't give all of it to say it was done, it's finished, no need to aspire to do anymore. It's you know, it's not. It has so much more to give. It's like it was an introduction, but it has the power to span lifestyles. I mean, not lifestyles, the life years, I put it like eons. It has that kind of power. And if we approach it like that, then we just make our little small contribution. We move the bar a little further ahead, and then it goes on from there. So they call it the cathedral building. You laid the foundation, but somebody finished it, and they put the roof. And it doesn't have to be the denomination or whatever. This is a concept that's universal. If you're going to build something, if you're going to leave something, if you're going to have a legacy, if you're going to have an agenda that talks about why you were here and a purpose and get started with it and realize, which is a very, very important thing to realize, the building process. The building process starts with the builder. See, getting the skills, getting the tools to create a situation and get some building done. But the building starts with you and I building ourselves up enough to have enough faith, confidence, resources to do an extension of what we have. You got it. You're taking it. You're extending it further because you're introducing it. You're inviting the public to look at it. You're inviting the public to not necessarily look at the credentials, but look at the results that's gotten from the message. It's reliable. Wherever you see this type of intervention, you know, divine intervention is the word, but for those who are in the audience that may not connect with it, may not can say that, may not feel that way, then as we grow, we can continue to introduce it in a way where people can understand, oh, I thought it was doing this, but it's not. It's just introducing it. It's letting me take a test drive to see if something in there that I might want to be a part of and do something with, because it has that kind of capacity. But we go back. We look real quickly now, because this is important. It starts with one. And then the one gets so many zeros behind it, and you got 1 million, 100,000, 1,000, 100. But if we don't let that connect and get lit, we'll still be grappling with what needs to be done and who, when we're going to do it and how we're going to do it. We're going to do it one person at a time, one step at a time, one, you know, that's what it's going to start with. And excitement and an inspirational, driven attitude, which means what? We're not going to let the distractions distract us. We're not going to let the devilishness and the deception distract us and create situations that make us feel, what you doing this for? This is mission impossible. You can't get this from them or that, or this can't happen with that. Sure it can. It's happened before. The past is in history, which is what we're going to talk a little bit about, proves it. You know, that's why that saying, I've said it before, I'll say it right hopefully this time, history serves those who study it, and those who don't are doomed to repeat it. Okay? So we when we understand that, how that works, and how if we don't do it, it doesn't work, and what happened, what are the consequences of not pursuing and acknowledging and giving credit to historical events, the past. See, sometimes that word throw you off. You say, oh, that was the past. If you now have a grip on the past, you don't have no future. If you have too much of a grip on the past, then it robs you of your future. So what does that? What does that say? That's a caution. You can start back there, but don't stay back there. It starts back there. If you ever see somebody trying to get momentum, you can see them go back and get a running start. You see it very prevalent in track and field. They can't just do it flat-footed. And the basketball is another thing, vertical. You can jump up just flat-footed. But generally, you got some kind of momentum, you know, and you really maximize your leap. Michael Jordan was one of those who he could jump, but then he went and got a coach who showed him how to really leverage that jump and be in air and extend the ball. Now you're getting the full benefit of your body and spring in your legs and then the ball being carried because you can grip it with one hand and then unexpected person, hard to defend. See? So it's the same thing when you look at applying knowledge, inspirational knowledge, scriptural knowledge that has that ability and has that power. It just needs someone to own it and to give it direction and give it some type of consistency and have your facts straight. Because when you step out there, you're going to get questioned. Who are you to be saying this? Who do you think you are telling us, talking to us like you know something? You're going to find that the people who think they know and the people who have been elevated because people think they know, they don't want to know that you know. They don't want to know that you know. So they try to ignore the elephant in the room. But guess what? You can't ignore the elephant in the room. Now, you can't save people from themselves either. How do I know? I tried it. I tried to save people from themselves. And what I was left with was a very informative and it's a very powerful realization. And that is, people who need the most listen the least. People who need the most listen the least. They got a few minutes they give you of their time, and then they leave you with the belief that either they are excited or that they just it was good and it's probably something you can do, but not me, brother, not me, sister. And there they are standing toe up from the floor up. Don't have the necessary resources to make any kind of motions and movement to have a better future. And they can tell you very clearly, yeah, but I'm all right. And walk away. And next time you see them, they might identify you as if you were some kind of enemy. Oh, yeah, you the brother be trying to. You that sister that be trying to, I ain't trying to do nothing. I saw you in need like I was in need, and I reached out to give you a hand up, not a hand out. And you not respectfully declined and didn't give it any thought. Well, maybe I should check it out. Maybe, you know, maybe you just can't see one thing in one night or one conversation or one minute or 100 minutes. It doesn't work like that. But if nothing gets desensitized and no energy and no flow, no interest happens, nothing happens. And that saying, where energy flows, the mind goes. See? If no one shows interest, whatever you're trying to reach them or however you're trying to reach them will never reach their intellect. Because they're not interested. Whether they say it or not, their actions will show you, I'm not interested. And really, I don't think I'm in. I'm busy, man. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to make this move and that move. And what might not get said might not be fully understood. No, it's not. It's not me, brother. It's not me, sister. It's this message that I'm trying to share with you that's important. So don't look at me and make your determination by how I look or how I sound. You know, see if there's anything you want to invest, like some time, and get some answers, and then you can really realize that maybe you need to know a little bit more about this, you know, because they say it's not what you know sometimes, it's who you know. If everybody knows in your circle what you know, then you might be guilty of having made this particular statement true. The blind cannot lead the blind. As old as that statement is, it's still profound. The blind cannot lead the blind. Doesn't matter if you desire. Doesn't matter if you want to save people. It doesn't matter. If I'm not available, my body's there, but my mind and my spirit and my soul is somewhere else. And that's what's reaching me. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm trying to realize. See? And we're gonna introduce this word, but we're going to try to show, if not on this program, the programs that are coming up, words that have the prefix of I-N. See? We just mentioned interest, inspiration, insight, see, intelligence. And we could just keep going on and on and on and on. And what is my point? My point is, at all times, never fails any time to be an inside job. If it doesn't get on the inside, it doesn't matter about the outside. Because you're going to see somebody who needs what you're offering, but they don't act like it. They got this plan. They got this thing they're doing, and it's going, when they get through, and when people wake up to how great it is, they're going to be rich, or they're going to be whatever. They're going to be known. They're going to fulfill their dream, whatever it is. And there's nothing we can say or do to change their mind. If they decide to change, that's when change comes. If they don't decide to change, it's just like we say, I can't do it. And it could be because I don't have time. I don't think it's worthwhile, whatever. But if they change that same word and say, I can take a look, I got a couple of days, or I got a couple of hours, why don't you do, show me what you got, whatever. But if they don't ever make the statement and make your disposition to go with the statement, it's not happening. You say, what do they say? You can, wait a minute, something to say, let me see if I can get it. If you change somebody against their will, they're in the same predicament still. Something to that effect. You get it. You clean it up if you have to. But that's the case. See? We used to say it, you can take the horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And how much truth is that? That's 100% true. So back to what kind of got this conversation started. I don't want to be guilty of wasting my time and guilty of wasting your time. See? And that can very easily happen. If I overinvest in trying to get you to hear what I'm saying, and you telling me, as diplomatic as you can, you don't have no need. You don't see nothing in investing that time. And sometimes we get so excited about trying to share, we make the point, but we make an enemy when we make the point. Because we're taking and turn down what they have and trying to offer us what we have after we done tore down what they have. Or at least it appears to them that that's what you're doing. They think you're being a little critical. They think you're being a little self-righteous. They think you know everything. So you have to be clear on how you want to share, how much you want to share, and how much you think they can handle of what you have to share. I got a chance to talk to two Latter-day Saints or Mormons or, and they were trying to share me that, with, you know, that the Lord Jesus Christ is what I needed in my life. And did I have a moment to hear that? And it brought to mind why we don't proselytize. We don't go out and, you know, this is the extent of our proselytization. We don't tell you, We tell you what we believe in, but we don't tell you that you're missing something because you don't believe in what we believe in. No, it's ours is a more, you know, endowed has a big, powerful meaning, but it's the way you go out and not proselytize, but propagate. You know, it's like a plant. You come, put some water on it, check it, come back and see. But if it doesn't want the water and the sun and the nourishment that will bring them wherever we think it'll bring them, then we get to it because there's no compulsion. You have to drag on kicking and fighting and carrying on, leave it alone. Maybe another day will be more receptive. But nothing happens when they're resisting that much and you just determine to save them because you think they need saving, and they probably do. But the willingness to get saved or get a better understanding and then get rid of some of the stuff that you already, that baggage that may be holding you back. There's a lot of information that's misinformation that we should have no use for. But we have some kind of sentimental attachment. We kind of lack it because of the way it sounds. You know, kind of got a little jingle to it, a little kick to it, you know. You know, I remember, and I think I might have mentioned this, but a very big fan of James Brown. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. I mean, not only was the melody just going to make you get up and do something, but the lyrics, I mean, say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. Now, it doesn't include examination of whether black is going to be the best words to use for my racial identity. And how much pride should I take in something that another man gave me or some outside source, I got it from some outside source, but I can't really get the dignity and I can't get the really progress that I get if I identify my own self. I get my orientation and I get my directional thing that I do defined by me and others who believe like I believe. Now I'm cooking with gas. But if I'm lacking something because it sounds good, and a lot of people around me, they lack it too because it sounds good, and nobody really examines it, is it a good idea to promote myself, project myself forward with the black, I'm a black man, I'm a black woman. See? We can dress it up and make it sound real good. But when we get out on the, get in the room with others who come down that path and their identity is more bigger, broader, wider, deeper, and it just oozes with the dignity and the pride that comes when you have properly identified yourself and the people around you, you don't have to ask them will they recognize you, will they accept you. See, you breed confidence because you have the competence to represent yourself in a dignified way, and it's just hard to deny anybody that does that. But it has to start there with you and I. If you're coming to get their approval, you know, their acceptance, you know, their admission into the doorway and all that comes with that. Now, that doesn't mean you got to go in there and say it loud, I'm black, I mean, I'm whatever, Bilalian and proud. Because somebody probably going to return and say, well, me too, I'm proud to be whatever. I mean, I went to take my wife to the masjid because her community is starting to fast. And that's a quick interjection there. Last night was the first night of Ramadan for them. The first day was today. So sometimes it doesn't follow through, you know. Maghrib, and after Maghrib starts the next day. So leading up to that, supposedly a sighting of the moon, or if we would see the moon with birth, but it wasn't sighted, or whatever. All those little politics. But then that would make that night, which was last night, which was you know, prayer, but not the actual fasting. The fasting took place today, and that's the first day of the fast. Now, tonight, if we're coming on like we are, then this is the first night of the fast, and then tomorrow will be the first day of the fast. So anyway, just a little education on that. But anyway, so I was taken to the unit, to the masjid, and it was full. It was crowded. But a unique new feature there was a bunch of Palestinian people there with their flag flying out the car. I mean, big flags and all over and whatnot. Because they decided it's time to get the other communities involved and the other Muslims involved, which is a rarity. We don't usually help one another, and there's not any guarantee we're going to help now. And if we do help, it might be very temporary. I gave my money. I got sent to this. That's not the spirit. That's not the attitude. But it is. And you see the right spirit with the Jewish people. Now, we mad because America's on this side. Well, they got heavily recruited. They got this. The country is a Judeo-Christian society. And they have Jews against whatever, and it's well funded by other Jews, because they know when Jews are being racially discriminated against, that's an attack on all Jews. So I might not come and help you fight where you're living, but the funds and my endorsement that excites other people to say, yes, we should stand up against racism. It's wrong for people to believe that they're better than other people and withhold, woo, 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 woo. Now, if I'm guilty of that, then if someone turns around and starts using that message on the culprit and say, you're the culprit. But if you provoke the people and now they're returning you, It's like basketball. The second person gets the whatever, you know. But in this particular case, if you are the first offender, everybody saw what you did, and then you turn around and he returns it back, who's going to get called for the foul? You are. And then you're going to call on your people who will probably support you, because we had a lot of Muslim sympathizers, though we didn't believe in Osama bin Laden and what he was doing. And we didn't make it known, but a lot of people were sending money because they sympathized. They didn't have the courage to do what he was doing, but they sympathized with it, and they said it's worthy of getting funds to him to see him overcome this kafir and having to, you know, do it, you know, without the resources. So a lot of people supported it. They didn't make it publicly, but they did. And they were called sympathizers, you know. They didn't have any problem after 9/11. That was a move that they thought was needed and necessary, but they didn't come forth and do it. So that's not the point. The point I'm trying to make is this here. We as a ummah have to start acting like a ummah. And then a lot of these things, not only will they go away, but they will disappear. But when they start and they don't last, they disappear, we should be able to relate to that. I did a little homework that I think you can relate to. Let me see if I can find it here. But it started with Lou Rawls. And Lou Rawls started out with a telephone. I think it was called Lou Rawls, The Parade of Stars. And then it became Lou Rawls, UNCF, United Negro College Fund, and that was what the telephone became. That telephone raised $15 million over its history before it died, when he died. Now, they tried to keep it up a little bit, but it didn't do whatever thing. And then by that time, Budweiser had got in there, and they sent some pictures of some other stuff out of you. Did whatever. But it didn't continue. Now, his Lou Rawls Parade of Stars, $200 million. Now, what cause did it go to? What fund did, and how did it benefited historically black colleges, you know, United Negro College Fund. The longevity that the Jews have in the the lack of longevity that we have with it was like what they say, the bleeding hearts or people feeling guilty and people reaching out in the way that they're very comfortable with reaching out. We were comfortable with the fact we thought we were owed something for the slavery that we were put in. So Section 8, welfare, affirmative action, all of those things. Anything anybody did to help the cause, further the cause, and hopefully benefit from the cause was done. And every time a fault, we rose to the occasion when it was a crisis. And we had Molotov cocktails and burn, baby, burn. We had fists raised in the air. And then when a simple call can come from the leadership to say, look, they're not treating us right at Albertsons. We want you to boycott and don't buy any food there for X amount of days. Or guess how long that lasted? Not very long. Because there's a dependency that we have that we haven't addressed. Everybody heard do for self, but everybody didn't define it in a way to it has multiple applications. Anything that you're not doing it and somebody else is doing it for you is a direct conflict with do for self. It is not because I said it, that I said it and how I said it. It's just a fact. People know that if I don't do this, it's up to me. That came about. It's a very popular saying when it came about because it fell on fertile soil. People were beginning to look up, pick your head up off the ground, quit dragging and making yourself feel like you're not going to get nothing out of life because you ain't going to be lucky enough to get it. If you're looking on luck to get it, you're not going to get it. Luck is never going to get it. It's never gotten it. It doesn't give anything to people. Preparation and ambition is what gets you what you need. And then you can call it what it's supposed to be called. It ain't no luck. It's what you get blessed with after you put forth the effort that's worthy of the blessing. And if you're consistently doing it, you'll get more and more benefit from that type of effort. Where? Everywhere it's been done like that. That's real justice. That's real results. See? That's the kind that you get started and then takes on life like a snowball. And it's rolling and it's picking up momentum and it's you're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. See? But it has to catch a fire, as we mentioned earlier, on the inside of the people to see that outside results. A self-contained community that does not need help from other people. People come now to be a part of what's going on. You look at the Amish. They don't do modernity, which is the modern stuff. You know, I think they finally might have got a few cell phones going and whatnot. But they're jamming in the furniture business because they've been making that wood furniture and it's making it to last. And people coming over and say, hey, you know, I've been hearing about you about this negative stuff, but I heard that you got some furniture that you sell and woo, woo, woo. And so you're seeing individuals and stores and whatever. Now, it was a long time coming because the problem wasn't so much us as it was them. You're going to live a life that's way back, whatever. You got people thinking and dressing and acting and behaving. And the world's moving on. You know, this is a technological-driven world, information-driven world now. And it wouldn't be so if the Creator wasn't allowing it to be so. Now, why is that happening? And we wonder why. Well, what's going to come? See? So if you're going to try to ask God why he's letting it happen this way and see if this might not be a better way, then you don't hear our definition of the Creator. You don't hear how he does things. You don't see him saying, I mean, you don't hear what he's saying when he says, I want heaven to be on earth. So you say, well, why God take that route? Because man is disobedient, ungrateful, and he lets influences that are not intended to do anything but degrade him and loss of dignity and loss of real poverty, I mean, real productivity. Because he's using fear on us to get us to get motivated and do this and do that. You're going to come to this world and you're going to leave like you came with nothing. You better get in debt, get yourself together, get you a J-O-B, and get out there and do something with yourself and get yourself you a car, a house, and that living middle class or upper class living so you can show people that you've been here. And then scripture comes and says, you know, that's true if you don't recognize that you didn't come with nothing and you didn't leave with nothing, because that's the process. But you can leave something. You might not leave with nothing and go, you know, to some pie in the sky, you know, because there's not no location up there you go to. There's not no heavenly throne that the Creator's sitting on and waiting to receive you and then reject you. It is not that. Even though they might teach it like that, it make God sound like he's a man. That's going to be a problem because he's not a man. And there's really no adequate way to describe him directly. Indirectly, you can say some things, which we've done. But even there, there's a caution. Because there's a point now that you may use a word or concept, and it's not applicable. So God tells us the words that are going to help you and I understand him. When you hear him, the first thing you're going to, you might think it's a man. And you hear other references that might think he's got a body. See, so no. You got a body of knowledge. That can be use the body to help you understand how the body of knowledge works. But the minute you start blurring the line and you mistaken assistance help and aid from certain entities to get certain things done, they don't get put on the same level as the Creator of that. It helps you to understand that something in the creation is helping you to understand there is a Creator. But you bow and give worship to the Creator, not the thing that's helping you understand that there is a Creator. That's a misinformed statement. That's not going to lead you to the path that you're supposed to be on and keep you on it. And not because I say so, it's clear in the book, it's clear in the word that's been given that clears up everything that came before it. You just got to have a grasp of the word. You have to have a grasp of what's being said and a application for it that gives comfort and peace to your inner being or to your soul. Peace comes. It comes over you. You feel relaxed. Your doubt's gone. It's not even in the question. It's not even in the picture anymore. See? Grounded and realizing that whatever is going to happen, it's going to happen because there's a Creator in charge. I know it. I believe it. Others around me who believe it too. Because guess what? This work is too big for a few people. It needs a community effort. Which means what? You're going to have some leadership. But the leadership has got to be able to acknowledge the bigness and the worth of the community comes when you have more than one person. that person may take care of certain needs spiritually and this and that and whatever. But the broadness comes when you can identify other people who do their particular craft or skill, and that's added on. And it's not burdened on one man or one person to be in charge of all the other stuff. Now, we say, well, the prophet did it. Yes. But he did it in a way where it's delegated to those who had the knowledge to do what. And it didn't take away from what his message or how he was saying. He was giving it the right spirit that we're supposed to have about it. Okay. You don't have to know all. You have to know people who know what they're saying, what they're doing. And then that's one less what? Problem we got. And we got to remember to stay big picture with what are we doing. We can't fall victim to what the society was doing. We pick up what they were doing and make it better. It's not exclusive. It's inclusive. Another IN word. See? So then the willingness to make it that big is have to have a bigness in you. And it doesn't happen until nothing happens until you get to something happens within you and I. Then you begin to see the results. And guess what? Other people begin to pay attention because the model that you have is working so good, it makes the natural question, is it, how y'all doing it? What do I have to do? See? When you see people come alive, it starts something moving in you that starts you to come alive. Can you see now the language now? Remake the world. That's a big statement. But once you realize the bigness that is required, first of all, to believe that you can do that, and second of all, start recruiting people to help you do that. And the people who can do that is where the people should be recruited from. So what am I saying? There should be no discrimination. Get on board. And be a part of this movement. Be in the association of others who want to associate with one another so we can get the full benefit of what we're up against. Because if we don't have what we need to do what we're trying to do, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to get done. If it does get done, it's not going to last. We just got through talking about that telethon that Lou Rawls was in. Where is it now? Who took it over? Who manned the helm to say, look, this was a good thing. It was benefiting people. Let's continue to do that. But let's do it a little different. Let's have matching funds. For every dollar that they give, we make sure that one of us gives. So it's not completely done by them, and then they can come in like they have ownership and tell us the direction it's going to go or when it's going to conclude or what's available now. You got to... paintings and drawings on your wall and Google. No, that conversation should be another conversation. And the other conversation is thank you, but no thank you. And say it, like I said before, with confidence. Well, we need more than your knowledge and your money. We need for you not to get in the way of our efforts. Stand back. And not come up and introduce anything, you know, that's going to be better or that's going to make it go faster or is an actor or whatever, or, you know, no. Because when we started the NAACP, some other people came on board. And with their knowledge and with their money, it went in another direction. So what we need to do is not make that mistake again. We need to be clear on where we're going, what we're doing, and then we're ready to whatever. In fact, once we get to that level, you don't have to even ask or invite anybody. 773, I got you. And so because it becomes very attractive. And like we just got through saying, the human being has sense enough, five of them to be exact. And when they connect together, 5 + 5 = 10, means they are conscious of what's going on. and something inside of them pulls them, attracts them to want to be a part of this and to take it, if they have to, duplicate it wherever they are. You don't believe that works like that? There's a book I told you about, Chariot of the Gods. Read it. The anthropologists or whatever it was that was looking for the book, they were trying to figure out how could they duplicate the same thing over here that these people were doing and they never come in contact, woo, woo, woo. Good question. So what we're going to do is, because we got to have a short episode today, so we're going to try to get people involved. Thank you, 773-449. State your name and where you're calling from, or you have a question or a comment.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. Oh, I tell you, and Ramadan Mubarak. I tell you.
Ramadan Mubarak.
This conversation, like all your conversations, is so imperative, but it's something unique and special about this conversation here. It's so rich. I agree with everything that you said. I mean, like I always tell you, it's a book, it's a CD, it's a workshop, it's a seminar. And so many subjects that you touched on, it was something that you can unconceal and reveal on so many levels. And as you were saying, the builder has to build and connect with people of like mind. And it's so imperative that when you teaching that a person understands what's being said. And so when you have the opportunity to get a person's attention, and then you can explain to them really what you're really saying, and they get it and they own it, it's so imperative. I've almost lost for words because some of the things that you said tonight, Allah had already blessed me with it earlier. I don't know how many people on this line, but I sent out a lot of texts. And I think one of the things I just like to do, because I benefit so much from what you say, I would like to weekly send out links so that they can readily access it in case they wasn't able to get on the program, because the messages that you bring are so vital to the development of the human spirit. And I just want to say, may Allah continue to bless you. I hear everything you saying, and I understand everything you saying. So may Allah continue to bless you. And Ramadan Mubarak. Assalamualaikum.
Ramadan Mubarak to you, too. And may Allah continue to bless you with the spirit to respond to what you're hearing, you know, and get others involved. And that's part of our job. And if we do that well, we'll see the results, not only in this life, but in the next life.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah.
And, you know, the beauty, like I said before, is that when others have something to say about what you are saying, that is beautiful. Because like she just mentioned, there's a level of understanding. See, and when understanding comes, it just starts to generate, because we probably are more energy than we realize. You know, we realize when we say, my get up and go, done got up and gone. You know, but if the cause is big enough, and it's calling you enough frequently, and it's stirring in your very soul, you'll make some time. You tell your body, yeah, I know you look tired, but just come over here with me, or just go do this here, or go do that there. And that's how things get built, from the body of the human being to the inside of the human being to the building, to the worship place, whatever it is. Somebody takes a little more effort. In fact, there's a book called The Slight Edge. And what it's saying is, if you just do, every time you do something, try to put a little bit more effort and energy into it and see how much that helps. It puts you on the edge or ahead of the next guy, or the next person, I should say, because they don't make that effort. You know, like I said before, that statement will not waste your time or insult your intelligence. That pushes me. I might say, well, I'm just going to do 1 hour. But I stop looking at the clock. I start talking. Allah starts opening up other things for me to see and say and do. And next thing I know, up 2 hours. Not of me, but of me trying to share what I've come in contact with and put a context for it and share it. And then you get calls back for someone to recognize it, and hopefully you see and put it to use. Because that's what we needed right now. We're a little slow to do. And when we do, though, we still kind of got a little hesitation. When you're doing, and it's not the intention that Allah has it for, or the spirit that he wants you to have for it, you'll know. It'll become very obvious. And it won't be something, like I said, that has to do with numbers. You know? It has something to do with you doing and sharing something that counts, and that's what really counts. See, that's what needs to be looked at and put some numerals with it and say, okay, this is going to be a percentage. I'm going to make an investment, and I'm going to get a return on that investment way greater. First of all, it may be just 5 or 10, whatever. But as it grows, and the growth grows, exponential growth starts to happen. See, now you see that what you're doing is in, what's in place now is you can get some heavy lifting done. What do I mean when I say heavy lifting? Website, material at my community there. They got a nice little pamphlet that shows them what the plans for the Ramadan is. First of all, it says Ramadan Mubarak. Then it says this is what's planned for the month of Ramadan. See, so what they have to do now, they send out an invitation in the way of not a flyer, it's just a paper that tells the people a little bit about Ramadan, and the plans for the Ramadan in the masjid. And, you know, it's just informative. And I remember Imam Muhammad giving us little flyers that just, what is Islam? What is this? What is that? What is that? Ooh, blah, blah, blah. It educates the potential brother or sister or Muslim or Muslim or movement that wants to be a part of a community. But they see now that this is an upward-moving community. It's not just a building for the people. With somebody up there leading the prayer. They got goals. They got plans. They got something for the older people. They got something for the younger people. They got something for the children. So what happens then? Their complete approach is going to cause them to grow. Now, the thing about growth today is it's not as united as it should be. We should be all under the umbrella of Allah and his messenger and the message that the messenger brought. That's going to check all that other behavior and all that attitude and coming in now with swagger and I'm this and we 200 deep and we from the Sufis and we from the Shafis and we from the Sunni and we from the... No. None of that is needed. Too political. It works against the whole effort for you to distinguish yourself like that. See? And if you do happen to build a masjid that's distinguished like that, it should be, like Imam Muhammad said, world community of Islam. They're not you and your boys or you and your clique or you and your gang. No. You want to make it known of your presence and your ability and how you want to help the situation, and that's how it's spread. People were beginning to do and outdo, and still are outdoing, except for the Holy Precincts, Saudi Arabia and the Arabians in there, where this all started at. But it was never intended to be an Arab thing. You weren't supposed to be coming to get Arabized. You're coming to get Islamicized. And when that's done, Islam will do what it do. Just as it tells you to go back and look at the people who fail. Look at the way it succeeded. Look at the Renaissance. Look at the golden years. You can look at Ottoman career and see that there was a downfall because they did something that caused the downfall, not because what they had wasn't adequate. It's very adequate. It stood the test of time. It introduced much into the world. People still go back and look at stuff and listen to Turkey. But it's hard to do or say what you need to say when you're confused about what you're trying to say. This little movement that's still scraggling along, you know, acting like they in their glory years and thinking it's going to rise again when they put the right president in there with the right kind of cojones to get things going back to where it was, the MAGA, Make America Great Again. Well, everybody know what that subtle little message is, making the greatness of America is. But if you have an what is the word? Hold on, let me get it here. I've said it before. So I'll come back to it. But if you have that, a legitimate alternative, that's it. A legitimate alternative, bona fide, certified alternative. What does it mean? It meets whatever they're saying they got, but it also is better. Now, not as better as in superior, meaning that it addresses the needs of the human family in a way that it needs to be addressed so that you feel a part of something that is there for your benefit and is benefiting other members in the human family. And yes, there's a little bit of competition, but it's not how you like me now or you didn't see that coming. No, we're not competing to get the favors of Allah. Allah's always said, you get my favors by being a part of something the way I wanted you to be a part of, to follow the book and the last messenger of that book. Now you're going to be off and running. And people are going to come and get the benefit, and you're going to get the blessings, because that's what we want. We want to be servants of God. And by serving God, we please God, and we're serving God. But we're serving humanity. That's what we can. Because God doesn't need anything. He doesn't need our prayers. It simply means my consciousness is on the level to acknowledge God. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be prayerful. I'm going to be not take things for granted. You know, I'm not going to be arrogant. All of those things that I'm going to be grateful. That's another thing. Ramadan is going to really bring out some gratitude in people because they have this thing that it's like a tune-up every year. And every year you say to yourself, this is going to be better than the last year. And if we say it and mean it, it's going to happen. If we say it and let someone hijack it, or it gets hijacked like it did last year, because there's going to be plenty of distractions. Up close and personal, you know what that means. It ain't going to just be on the outside. It's going to be people on the right there with you on the inside. You know, tease people to say that when people come to visit and they're your in-laws, but they're really the outlaws. See, so just a little humor. But what we want to say and what we're trying to say and what we know needs to be said is work. See, there's no beating around the bush, trying to avoid it. It is work. But it's also worth it. See, when you see the accomplishment and when you see the progress people are having and as a result, and the real, you know, they want to sell things like it's just jolly good and all excited and lasting, you know, rejoicing and carrying on. No, but it is. We feel good when we're doing the work of God, the work intentionally the way He intended it to be. Or where it was intended to be. And it's clear. Matters are judged by intention, because we want to know, what's your agenda? Why are you doing this? Why are you helping people? What do you want from these people? You want them to be worshiping you and kissing your ring and declaring you the king? Or you want to have peace on earth and goodwill toward man? It's a legitimate desire. The world is in war in multiple places right now, killing one another in the name of God or in the name of their country to protect it or to keep it, whatever. Men, women, and children are being slaughtered like they have no value for other men, women, and children. And even the animals don't do that. So you hear the references in the scripture that says you're beneath now, even that of a lamb. They're not capable of genocides, but we are and we do. So, you know, let me say Ramadan Mubarak to all. We look to the future. We look at hopefully the success that can come and the blessings that can come, and we approach it hopefully with the spirit that's needed, you know, because there's a lot going on in the world, a lot of moving parts, a lot of opportunities for good, but also a lot of opportunities to do those things that aren't so good, to trust in things that aren't so good. So it's a matter of choice, but be aware that knowing what we need to know and then acting on that is when you really see results, because you've taken something that was knowledge, you've understood it and applying it in the way you want to, and that's wisdom. And that formula is not my formula as much as it is the formula that God wants us to have. So when we go forward and we have maybe a little setback or a delay, or it's taking a little more time, you know, or maybe just uniting of the minds, or uniting of the souls, we don't lose faith. And it says of us in the Hadith that when you decide to grow a tree and something distracts you from growing it, get back to it and grow it anyway. It's the end of the world coming. You know it's going. Don't let that stop you from growing. Don't let that stop you from doing what you know you need to do. Oh, I'm old. I'm this. I'm that. No. Just like everybody else did in that time, they found a way. And they made it in the way in the hearts and minds of us. And we said that was the Sahabas. They helped. They did. They gave it their all. So let's do that. You know, I thank Allah for your time. I thank Allah for you tuning in. And I'm thinking, I got to really determine and I'll get it together. But I think we're going to try to be respectful and mindful of Ramadan. And we won't have the 6 o'clock program. I'm thinking between 5:30 or 5 o'clock. So once I get it together, I'll try to get people notified of the exact date. But it's definitely, in the meantime, definitely not going to be 6. Going to be either 5 o'clock or 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. Excuse me, that's the corrected thing to say. And you know, I'm sure the other programs are doing a similar thing. They're going to be making the time adjustments. That one time movement by you know the society that's done, but now we got to deal with Ramadan and breaking of the fast and all the other stuff that people in the different locations are doing, and they need to be considered with something on our part to make sure it's not interrupting their prayer or their breaking the fast. So that's the thoughts. Ramadan Mubarak again, and thank you again for your attendance and your time, and we thank Allah, and we hope that you heard something that will be of benefit. Okay, let's see. I'm going to get it at 314. And then we'll conclude with that. Assalamualaikum.
Yeah, alaikum assalam, Imam Nazim Pasha, and to your very astute radio listening audience there at IWDM Radio, Mark Shaheen from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Shomi State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost, always. And appreciate the valuable information, conversation, Al-Islam-based conversation that you had today and all. Just wanted to say something about the word work, you know, as an acronym that I've used over the years, W-O-R-K. If it's worth obtaining real knowledge, it's going to be work. And, of course, you just don't want to obtain the knowledge. You want to practically apply the knowledge. You know, that's what wisdom is the application of knowledge with mercy. that is a part of it, and then this will ultimately help other people too. So it's not just for, you know, selfish reasons, selfless reasons in terms of pleasing God. I think it's so very, very important when you can help other people. There are some people you can't help, you know. So I think often about what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says: speak to the ear that's alive, speak to the ear that's listening. Some people listen, some people don't listen, you know, but that's okay, because you're speaking to the ear that's alive, that's really listening to what's being said, that can be helpful and can be beneficial. So it becomes an obligation and it becomes a responsibility. We're accountable for what it is that we do know, and that we don't become hoarders. We give it freely to those who are in need of. You know, it goes back to the Quran again, where Allah says, and give to those who ask, and give to those who don't ask, but they still, you know, they're in need of information. You know, you were speaking about the N words, and I was thinking about the word information. You know, and it's a couple of words that's there. First and foremost is to inform, and it's to give formation so that you can have the correct form. So this is always a good production to actually have, and so much information to, as a takeaway for those who tune in and listen in. You know, I do want to say that the beat goes on IWDM radio here, because we have to mention, and we should always mention, the other production that becomes a protocol for, you know, all the shows. So those who tune in and listen in will know that we have programming 7 days a week. So we're embarking, those who have already begun their fast, as you already said, and those who haven't, they will begin their fast and sunset today in all. And it has become a tradition here on IWDM Radio that we always want to have a presence, even during the blessed month of Ramadan. And so what we've done is scale back the time for the evening programs. So those who are primarily in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, that the program could have ended, whereas they can begin to make preparations for breaking their fast and also making the Salat to Maghrib and the Iftar, whether it's with your family, friends, or with the community, will have time to actually do that. So tomorrow, Tuesday here on IWDM Radio, and that's going to be applicable to very distinguished esteemed host Rashid Salam and his off-returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed out of Atlanta, Georgia. The Ramadan schedule for that particular production, which is the Science of Your Health and Wealth Learning Lab. That's an addition or an addendum from last year, the Science of Your Health and Wealth. You know, we want to be healthy in every aspect of human life, and of course you want to be healthy financially, you know. So this is a great learning lab to tune in and listen in. The Ramadan time for all of the month of Ramadan will be 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And it will be just for 1 hour, 1 hour. So please take note, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, 1 hour, for the Science of Your Health and Wealth Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio. Wednesday, it still would be the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. However, it would be on the Ramadan schedule starting this Wednesday with Rashid Salam and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And it will be centered around the blessed month of Ramadan. As a matter of fact, the theme is Ramadan, how it can benefit and galvanize the family life. That's the theme. Ramadan, how it can benefit and galvanize the family life. That's the theme for the whole month of Ramadan. So we ask that you do tune in so you can get that information. Bring your pencils and pens and notebook paper. We believe some valuable things will be given, noteworthy things, I should say, will be given in that learning lab. And it would be on the Ramadan schedule. It would start at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. The MGM Roundtable will be moved to Saturday. We'll give you that information when I get to Saturday. But there will be no MGM Roundtable on Wednesday in the blessed month of Ramadan. It will return back to its regular time after Ramadan. Thursday, you have the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Khalila Akbar, a distinguished co-host, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And it will be also on the Ramadan schedule. And it will be aired at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And also, I have given it a theme. It would be marriage, Ramadan, marriage, its benefit when two become one. Once again, the theme for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab all throughout the month of Ramadan is Ramadan, marriage, how Ramadan benefits marriage, and when two become one. So you want to tune in for that, and that'll be this Thursday. And then Friday, which is Salatul Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide, those who are immobilized, can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with email Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, out of Noor Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. It begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Also Friday, Saturday, and where we're going to have some changes, whereas that you will be hearing the Muslim Book Reading Club. That still will be aired at its regular time each and every Saturday with Imam Mikhail Sahir. It will begin at 1 p.m. Eastern, high noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. It will air for only 1 hour, and then it will be followed by the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, that will be hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed, and where I will have some of the most outstanding intellects in our community I will dialogue with on the 7th year of the theme that I've hosted on the roundtable, MGM, and also the CWSC roundtable for AM 360, our sister station, which would be fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. So you most certainly want to tune in for that, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. As a matter of fact, that would be the theme for the whole month of Ramadan on the Muslim Global Message Roundtable here on IWDM Radio. It would be aired on Saturday after the Muslim book reading club on Saturday. Sunday, the longest running production that we have on IWDM Radio, which is Words Make People. Sounds familiar? The theme of last year, time, the 19th anniversary of Time to Be Grateful, can be heard each and every Sunday, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, high noon Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio with Imam Mikhail Sahir. As you always have very intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. So please tune in. It will have its regular time. And you just heard from a very distinguished, esteemed Imam Azim Pasha. He will be giving you the time, updating you the time where he will be starting his production of ABC, Al-Islam-based conversation, where you hear a variety of topics from an Islamic base and all. And so you want to tune in each and every Monday, and you'll get that time, I'm quite sure, from him in terms of when that production will start. So, and we also want you to know that IWDM Radio, that we do support the Muslim Journal. We ask that if you've had a subscription and have allowed it to drop for one reason or another, we do ask that you consider picking your subscription, the Muslim Journal, back up. Those who have a one-year subscription, think about trying to do more in 2024, double that subscription, make it a two-year subscription. And those who have the wherewithal, if you have the wherewithal, think about a family member, a friend, a colleague, maybe a neighbor, or maybe a community member or a pioneer, or maybe somebody in your local library, or maybe somebody in the penal institution that's trying to reform their life. Think about making it a gift to them. And, of course, at the end of Ramadan, you know, it would be Eid al-Fitr. Oftentimes, there's a lot of gifts that are given. Maybe you think about a subscription to the Muslim Journal, the lifeblood of our community. You might want to consider that. And as the national spokesman and advocate for lifetime subscribers, I'm also asking those of you who have the wherewithal, and Allah is the best knower, think about becoming a lifetime subscriber to the Muslim Journal, as it now is in Newark, New Jersey, the new home for the Muslim Journal. It's an excellent opportunity to help to give a solid foundation for the Muslim Journal by becoming a lifetime subscriber and building a legacy for our community. And this can also be transferable maybe to a family member or a friend or maybe a community member. So with that being said, as always, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you, and may Allah bless all with a blessed Ramadan Mubarak. Assalamu alaikum, and back to you, Imam Nazim Pasha.
All right. Thank you very much, Brother Mark. I appreciate that. I might as well go on and reveal my time. I think to be in unity, I'm going to be 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, Central and 2 p.m. Pacific, like everybody else, until after Ramadan. So I think that'll be the best move, and hopefully, and it's 1 hour. The program will be 1 hour also. So that's hopefully will work for people so that they can get what they need done on their end, and we'll try to work with them to make it happen, and we'll do it together, inshallah. So thank you again, listen, audience, and thank you, Brother Mark, especially. We appreciate that, and it's really a big help. I've been threatening to get this written down, but I'm gonna put myself to a commitment that I'm gonna get it done and have it. Well, hopefully, it's the next week, if not the week after, to have the full cadre of people that we have speaking in a vast amount of information we can get in different areas of life. And believe me, it's an asset. I just came back from talking to some people about my health and my whole nother. And we can tend around sometimes. We don't get our checkup and check, and we need to do that because health is not something we take for granted. You can lose it. And I remember, like I told Brother Mark, one of the first things I heard, use five before you lose five. And it's a fact. It's a truth. And we have to act like it, you know. So thank you again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And we hope to see you, and we hope that your Ramadan will be the one that you want, and we'll give you the blessings that Allah has intended for you and us. And Ameen.
Ameen.